Presenting The Whisperer, starring Carlton Young. The Whisperer, a brilliant man who, losing his voice in an accident which crushed his vocal cords, worked his way deep within the crime syndicate to help destroy it from within. To the underworld, his familiar rattling hiss is the voice of authority, to be obeyed without question. Then a miracle of surgery performed by Dr. Benjamin Lee restored his natural voice, enabling him to resume his real identity. Now, as Philip Gault, aggressive young attorney, he skirts the thin edges of death, living his dual role. For as the Whisperer, he sets in motion the forces of the syndicate in Central City. Then, as Philip Gault, uses his knowledge to fight the organized network of crime which seeks to control the fate of millions in cities and towns across the nation. Now we find Philip Gault in a phone booth, speaking in the voice of the Whisperer, making his report to a superior in the syndicate.
Hello, New York. Madden, given instructions, will report progress.
Gault, too?
Yes. Yeah, I see you're not.
Mm-mm. I have a special here today. 25 cents for a super banana stick. Okay, I'm through. And you're just in time.
No, for what?
To pay the bill. What a bargain you got, Phil. It's only 25 cents.
Did I enjoy it? Yeah, that'll take care of it. Let's go.
What are you so grumpy about?
You're not grumpy.
Sneezy, then?
What?
Are you sleepy or dark? Which one of the seven drawers?
Oh, I'm worried.
I'm sorry. Making jokes. What is it, Phil?
Trouble. Let's get in the car. I'll drive you back to Dr. Lee's office so you can earn your salary.
Now tell me, what horrible instructions did you give your syndicate henchman?
To wreck a truck.
And now you've got to stop it.
Yes.
Playing footsie again. Pass along the murder orders and try to stop them from being carried out.
Yes, try.
How long, Phil?
Till they're smashed.
Not by you?
By me, by the law, by the government, and by every means possible. Ellen, the syndicate is moving into every line of business. They put their grubby fingers into every kind of work. Take pennies out of piggy banks and $1,000 bills out of safety deposit boxes.
But, Phil...
Without knowing it, you keep them alive. Maybe when you buy a paper. Maybe when you eat a banana split. Wherever you go, whatever you do, they've got themselves into legitimate businesses. Fronts. Expanding their interests all the time.
All right, Phil.
Trying to do something about it.
All right.
I'm sorry I blew off steam.
I asked for it.
They're in the insurance business now.
For real?
For real. Honest-to-goodness insurance. They're using their usual strong-arm methods to get business.
Wrecking a truck?
Yes, because the trucking company won't buy insurance from them.
I see. Here we are, Phil. Want to come up?
I can't.
Guess I have to buy my own dinner tonight, eh?
I'll call you later.
Oh, I almost forgot. In the drugstore, you need one of those special flashlight batteries.
Oh, yeah, thanks. The flashlight's in the glove compartment.
A funny kind of flashlight. Shall I open it?
I can do it.
There's nothing to it.
Ellen.
Uh-huh.
You'll be late.
Oh, plenty of time.
I know why you're sitting here.
Why?
Because you're worried. Thanks, sweetheart.
Smart fella.
Sure, it's dangerous, but I can take care of myself.
I know, but... Oh, darn. The flashlight doesn't work.
Yes, it does.
Well, it doesn't. Never saw a contraption like this. I must put it in wrong or something. Pressing a button, but it doesn't light.
In the glove compartment.
What?
Those glasses.
Oh, the red ones?
That's right. Put them on.
Well?
Now I'll flash the light.
Oh, now it works.
It's an infrared light. You can only see it with those special glasses. It'll light up in the dark. Only you can't see the light or what it lights up unless you have those glasses on.
Still, another gadget.
Clever, isn't it?
Yes, but I wish that...
What?
Nothing. I wish I were a gadget. Maybe you'd pay more loving attention to me.
I'll call you later. We can look into it.
After dropping Ellen at her office, Phil drove to the north side of Central City, down Maryville Street, until he saw the unpainted wooden building with the sign over the entrance, Ace Trucking Company. J. Stevens, president and general manager, and M. Coffey, vice president and treasurer. He parked behind an ancient truck and went up the wooden stairs. The door was open and he went in. He stood there for a moment in the front office, and then the door to the inner room opened.
Yeah?
My name is Goff.
What can I do for you? Got some eggs to haul, some cantaloupes, machinery?
No.
Yeah, just as well. Couldn't handle it anyway. Well, what can I do for you?
It's a pretty big business you run here.
Yeah, we get by.
How many trucks do you have?
Two. Why?
How many employees?
None. The bosses are the employees. I'm Stevens. My partner is Coffey. We run the business and the trucks.
Uh-huh.
What's on your mind?
Mr. Stevens, I'm going to be frank with you.
Why?
Because I may save your life.
My life? What is this?
I'm an attorney. I want you for a client.
I'm sorry, I don't need you.
Now, hold on. This isn't going to cost you anything.
Probably worth that much, too. I still don't need you.
Going on a haul tonight, aren't you?
So?
A long haul. To California.
Go on. What else?
By Route 42.
I'm all ears, Counselor.
If I were your counselor, I'd advise you not to take Route 42.
Yeah, but you're not, and I'm going to take it.
If I were your counselor, you'd have come to me when somebody tried to force you to buy their insurance. Wouldn't you?
Seems as though you know an awful lot about my business. What'd you say your name was?
Galt.
Hey, Galt. Well, Galt, I still say you're not my counselor, and since I'm not paying you for advice, I don't see why I should take any from you.
I told you why, because it'll probably save your life. The people who were trying to sell you insurance are a group called the Syndicate.
What? Well, now I've heard everything. This was an insurance company, Galt, a real insurance company, not a bunch of gangsters.
Will you do me one favor?
Probably not.
Don't take Route 42. It's a setup. They know you're going to California with a load. They know you're leaving tonight. They're going to wreck your truck.
Nobody's going to pressure me, Galt.
They're going to try it.
I'm talking about you.
Me?
Yeah, you. How do you know so much about this operation? Where do you get your information? You must be part of this syndicate you're talking about.
It just happened.
Yeah, it just happened. On your way, Galt. Vamoose. I'm that tough of guys, and you're on a campfire toasting marshmallows.
Now, look.
I'm busy. I got to pick up my load. You go on back and tell your outfit I ain't interested in insurance or protection either, which is what you're trying to sell me. You're a lousy salesman, Gall. I don't buy a word of what you said.
Dr. Lee's office.
Ellen.
Oh, hello, Phil. What's a good word? Calling you for a date?
No, sorry, Ellen.
You're having trouble?
Plenty. The Ace Trucking Company isn't in the market for advice. Won't listen to me.
What are you going to do, Phil?
Try to stop it, sweetheart.
Oh.
I'm going along for the ride.
But if they won't listen, they won't let you near the truck?
The driver won't know it, but when he pulls out tonight, I'll be in the back of his truck with his load of heavy machinery.
Oh, sir, you can't do any good back there. And if the syndicate breaks the truck, if they threaten
I'll be in the cab of the truck trying to talk the driver into stopping before that happens.
But Phil.
I'll be careful, darling. Call you later.
Reached the open road outside Central City, highballing for California. Phil worked his way forward between the huge crates of machinery in the rear of the truck and knocked on the window and the door separating him from the cab.
Hey, what's the... the syndicate counselor. Come on, get out of there.
I can't. I'm stuck against these crates.
Yeah, open that plastic door. All right, come on, climb over the seat.
All right.
Thanks. Yeah, mighty crowded back there between those crates.
All right, Counselor, better have a good explanation.
I'll do the talking. Just keep your eye on the road and cut your speed.
I got a long way to go, and I ain't cutting nothing. I don't believe you, Galt. I don't trust you. Anything that happens to me is going to happen to you in spades.
I came of my own free will, Stevens. You didn't force me. Keep your eye on the road, I tell you. I don't know how they're figuring to wreck this truck, but it'll be soon.
Yeah, well, I ain't cutting my speed. You got an idea you can lead me into trouble, you ain't going to do it. You can do all the talking you like.
It ain't gonna make no difference to me.
All right, just keep watching the road.
And better not try any tricks.
Now look, it'll probably be something in the highway. Maybe a barricade of some kind.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe somebody's thumbing a ride. Don't stop for anybody.
I don't stop anyhow.
Or another truck coming alongside, forcing you off the road.
You got them all figured out, huh?
Keep your eyes on the road, man.
One of them. The other I gotta keep on you.
Are you married?
Yeah.
How does your wife put up with you? I never saw anybody so stubborn and obstinate in my life.
Now, you're pretty much of a bulldog with an idea yourself.
There it is, the barricade.
And you're going too fast.
Hang on.
You can't stop now. Go through. Go through.
You are listening to The Whisperer, the story of Philip Galt, who skirts the thin edges of death, living his dual role. As the Whisperer, Phil Galt had passed on the syndicate's instructions to a man he knew only as Madden. Instructions to wreck one of the Ace Trucking Company's trucks. And then, as Philip Galt's attorney, he tried to warn one of the owners of the company. Failing to convince the trucker that he was headed for danger on Highway 42, Phil secreted himself inside the truck and just barely made his way up to the cab in time to put Stevens on the alert. But it didn't stop the barreling truck. It took a barricade on the road to do that.
Hold that wheel steady. We're going into the ditch.
Hang on.
You okay?
Yeah, okay. You?
Yeah. Stevens.
What?
You insured?
Yeah, but not with Cato Underwriters. Come on, let's see how much damage.
Shots!
Shooting at us.
Unless you see some other squirrels around.
Hey, they could, but keep.
I tried to tell you. You better get out of here. We're sitting ducks. Come on, make for those trees.
I'm behind you. Maybe I made a mistake about you, Constable.
Maybe you did. It might be a costly mistake.
Down!
Well, the shooting stopped anyway. Hey, the truck. On fire.
Uh-huh.
Get him, the dirty robin thieves.
Take it easy, Stephen.
Work yourself to death, scrape a few pennies together to buy a couple of trucks, go into business, and then somebody muscles in.
Says you're insured?
Yeah. For the load, but not for the truck. Was too old, figured I'd get away with liability. Cost more than I paid for the truck, the way they got insurance costing these days.
I see.
Well, that sounded like they took off.
They did their job.
Now what? Now what, Conklin?
Well, my professional advice?
Yeah.
Get a new truck, a brand new truck. One of my clients has been after me for a safe investment. You interested?
How safe?
He's more interested in the people in the business than in their assets.
Yeah, but how safe? I'm still not in the market for the kind of insurance they sell.
And I'm not selling it. But right now, we better see about stopping that fire. Is this by then through fire and brimstone? Through fire, anyway.
Are you all right?
Kind of tired, but all here. Have you dinner?
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't. I'm starved.
How about a sandwich?
Wonderful.
What happened, Phil?
They got the truck burnt to a cinder.
And the driver?
He's all right.
You're sure you're all right?
Just hungry.
Come on in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. All right if I use your phone?
Of course. I have sandwiches in the refrigerator.
Oh, operator, I want long distance. New York, circle 1798. Ring me when the call is ready, will you? Thanks.
Here, Phil. Some coffee?
Milk, if you have some.
Sure. How did it happen, Phil?
A roadblock. Then they shot at us. Then they burned the truck.
Did they get a look at you?
Madden might have seen me. I don't know.
You don't know? Phil, if he did and he ever sees you again...
It wouldn't take the syndicate long to figure out that Phil Galt is also the Whisperer.
Phil, how long do you think you can go on keeping your double life a secret from everyone but me and Dr. Lee?
Those are the chances I have to take, sweetheart.
Is Madden from out of town?
I wish I knew. All I know about this setup is the insurance company the syndicate runs is called Cato Underwriters. There's my call.
Hello?
Central City?
Right. Accomplished. Ace Trucking Company. Now minus one truck.
Good. They will be approached by Cato Underwriters for insurance again.
Instructions.
Madden already has his instructions. If they refuse to buy again, he will shoot to kill.
Bill.
If Stevens refuses to buy the insurance, he'll be murdered.
Will he, Bob?
No.
You've got to make him, Phil.
I can't interfere that way, and I don't think it would make any difference if I tried. He's as stubborn as...
Have you?
Almost.
Oh, this is serious, Phil. You can't let Stevens be murdered in cold blood.
No, Ellen, I can't. And right now, I don't know how to stop it.
Without telling Phil Dahl her plans, Ellen determined to find out if she could whether Madden had seen Phil, whether Madden would be able to identify Phil. For if the syndicate once learned that Phil Dahl was also the Whisperer, they would arrange to have him killed in a matter of hours. And so, on her lunch hour, Ellen walked to the Ellsworth building and took the elevator up to the 8th floor.
Yes, miss? May I help you?
I wanted to get some insurance on my car.
Of course. Won't you sit down?
Cato Underwriters was recommended to me.
Oh?
I was told to ask for a man by the name of Madden.
Madden?
That's right.
Now, who could that be? Madden? I'm afraid I don't know any Madden. Are you sure?
Positive.
Anything wrong, Cullen?
Oh, Mr. Palermo, this young woman is asking for a man by the name of Madden.
Oh, I see. Will you come with me, please?
It's a simple matter. I just want to insure my car.
I'll write it up for you in my office, huh? You know, it's odd, but Cato Underwriters have branches in all the large cities, and I myself just arrived here the other day. And I know a man with our company by the name of Madden in Richmond, Virginia. Oh, please sit down, Miss...
Norris.
Miss Norris, it's strange you should ask for him.
Oh, I don't know if it's the same Mr. Madden, but I... Mr.
Palermo.
Mr. Palermo, I was recommended to Mr. Madden.
Oh, who recommended him, Miss Norris?
A friend.
A friend, yes. What's his name?
Her name.
All right. What's her name?
Susie.
Susie who?
Mr. Palermo, I don't see where it makes much difference who Susie is or why she was recommended to me. Does it?
No. It just struck me as being peculiar.
Do I get some insurance for my car?
Yes, of course, of course. You see, Madden came into town with me, Miss Norris, and he hasn't been selling any insurance. Not to anybody by the name of Susie, anyway.
Mr. Palermo, I'm a working girl. I only get an hour for lunch.
Who do you work for, Miss
Norris? I really don't see that it makes much difference.
Maybe I can give you a lift back to work.
No, thank you. Now, if you can tell me where I can see Mr. Madden or when he'll be here.
Insurance, huh?
Insurance.
All right, Miss Norris, if you'll tell me where Madden can reach
you. I'm a nurse. It's Dr. Benjamin Lee. Mr. Madden can call there.
Yes, I'll tell him. And maybe you and I can take up some of these other details at another time.
It was 2 o'clock when Phil Galt reached the Ace Trucking Company's offices. The front door was open and he walked in, but nobody was there. He sat down in a hardback chair, tilted it so that his feet could find support on the rickety desk, and waited. And it was 4:30 when footsteps came up the wooden stairs and Stevens came in.
Oh, hello, Counselor. Hey, Counselor, wake up.
Oh, you're a fine picture of a young, wide-awake attorney. Sleeping like a baby. Don't you have any problems?
No, a few.
They don't bother you.
Appearances are deceptive. I keep them locked up in here.
That's just indigestion. What's the good word?
Just what I was going to ask you.
No good word. I've been to every bank in the city. I can't raise a thin dime. My credit is stretched so far, it's worse than a size 32 girdle on the circus fat lady.
You didn't go to the right bank.
Huh?
Here.
What's this for?
Made out to the Ace Trucking Company, isn't it?
That's not what's bothering me. It's the amount.
Mm-hmm. I had to scrape the barrel a little.
A little? $16,423.
That includes tax, licenses, and...
And,
Insurance. And not with Cato Underwriters.
What's the gag?
No gag. I told you. A friend of mine is always looking for good investments, and he listens to me.
You said you had to scrape the barrel.
My best friend. Myself.
Well, you could buy this whole company for $500.
What good would that do me? I'm no trucker.
Well, of course, we built up some goodwill. How much interest in the company you want for this?
10%.
I don't get it.
You don't have to understand, Stevens. I live my life on hunches. I think you'll do okay. I want to invest in you. When the business can afford it, you can pay me back for the truck.
Consulate, you've got yourself a couple of partners. Little Monty finds out. 16. Hey, that's the big one. You must have priced
it. I did. Now, listen.
I listen all night. Those words you keep saying are like music.
You're going to get a visitor.
Who?
Someone to sell you insurance. Cato Underwriters.
I'm not having any.
Ain't this Stevens?
What?
Ain't you having any?
Is that the same gun I heard last night?
The very same. All right, wise guy. How do you know so much?
I've heard about Cato Underwriters, and I heard nothing good.
I don't like your attitude. And I don't know where you fit in. But I'm going to find out.
It's easy. I'll tell you. I know how you operate. Madden,
how do you know who I am?
Stevens!
Sir, Counselor! Now, you must look at me! Eddie's gun!
Yeah.
Let's go, let's go!
Okay, drop the gun.
I'll blast you. I'll be picking lead out of your ears.
Counselor, you okay?
Yeah. Actually, he shot himself. Barrel turned in when he pulled the trigger.
You didn't touch the gun. I hit his wrist.
Sure.
Is he dead?
Yeah. Better sit down, Stevens. You're not toasting marshmallows now.
You really think he meant to shoot?
Yes, I do.
I ain't going to ask you a lot of questions, Counselor. I just want to thank you. Not only for the truck.
That's right, the truck. Look, we better get the police over here. They're going to want to know all about this. Call Lieutenant Denver's at homicide. But you can do me a favor.
Anything.
Leave me out of it, unless it's absolutely necessary.
Okay, will do.
After you get through, want to take a look at your new truck?
Is it ready for delivery?
As soon as you pick out what color you want. Meet me at the corner of Broad and 7th, say 8 o'clock.
I'll be waiting there for you.
Doc, this is Phil.
Yes, Phil.
Is Ellen there?
No, she left an hour ago. Said she had an appointment.
An appointment? Did she happen to mention what it was about?
No, she didn't. Anything wrong? Something I can do?
No, thanks, Doc. Nothing wrong, I hope.
What's that?
Nothing, Doc. Thanks, I'll call her at home.
At Ellen's apartment, Phil was a little concerned, but then he thought perhaps Ellen had gone shopping or she was on her way home. He felt a little restless, a little uneasy. He drove to his office, but there was no message from her there. He called her apartment again. Seven o'clock. She should be home. She wouldn't have gone away without leaving word for him. She couldn't be shopping this late. Phil drove to keep his appointment with Stevens at the corner of Broad and 7th.
Hey, it's the big job, Counselor. You sure you don't want to change your mind? I still got the check.
No, you go on in, Stevens.
Something wrong?
No. Everything go all right with Lieutenant Denver's?
Oh, yeah. Hey, funny thing, this Madden guy's from out of town. And, you know, he don't work for Cato Underwriters. He don't work for them at all.
I didn't think they'd admit he did. Cato... Look, Stevens, carry on, huh? I've got to check up on something.
Cato Underwriters.
I'm looking for someone. Thought you might be able to help me.
Certainly, sir.
I'm looking for a woman by the name of Ellen Norris. Do you know whether she's in today?
Well, quite a few women came in during the day, sir. I'm not quite sure I can answer that for you.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, about 5'2".
Sorry.
She might have been looking for a man by the name of Madden.
Oh, why, yes, I believe such a woman was here. But we don't have any Madden working for us. I turned over to Mr. Palermo.
Palermo, huh?
I see. Thanks.
Hello? Ellen?
Yes?
You all right?
Yes.
Can't talk?
No.
I'm coming up.
No.
It's all right, sweetheart. Palermo there?
Yes. Goodbye.
Just hold everything, sweetheart. I'll be there.
What makes you think Phil Galt will come here?
That was them on the phone a little while ago, wasn't it?
No. It was a friend of mine, a girl.
You're a pretty good actress, sweetheart, but not given up. No two women in the world ever held a conversation as short as that. Yes, no, yes, no, goodbye.
But I tell you...
That was him, all right. And when he gets here, I'll give him a real warm reception.
But I told you, Phil's out of town. He won't...
Certainly. I'm beginning to get the idea all around. And knowing so much about what goes on. My partner, Madden, getting his only ace trucking deal.
sweetheart. Got a match?
No.
Drop the gun, Palermo.
Hey, you see, sweetheart, I told you we'd show. What do you figure to do in the dark, Mr. Galt?
It may be dark for you, Palermo, but not for me.
Who are you kidding? You a cat or something?
I've got you in the beam of an infrared flashlight. I can see you as plain as day. Drop the gun.
Well, if you can see so good, I guess you can see this.
Take your hands off her, Palermo. I'll...
You what? Go ahead, shoot. Maybe you'll shoot straight enough to hit her.
I might have figured you use her as a shield.
Meantime, a couple of pot shots in the direction of the kitchen door might just hit you.
Well, look out, Tahoe!
I guess you don't have cat's eyes, Palermo. You missed a mile.
Yes? Well, suppose I shoot what I can't miss. Suppose I shoot your girl here.
Bill!
I'm all right, darling. I had to shoot him before he pulled the trigger on you.
All right, Tahoe. Bill, he was waiting for you. He wanted to kill you. He came from Richmond with Madden. I went up there.
Easy, sweetheart. Easy, I know.
Then he
I
called
know.
Me at the office. He was waiting for me outside with a gun. He made me come here to wait for
easy,
you.
Easy, darling.
Oh, Bill.
It's been a hectic day.
Uh-huh.
I noticed it didn't spoil your appetite.
Oh, but it did. I only had one helping of Terry Jubilee.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe because you had a double sirloin steak.
You think that could be wrong?
It's my considered opinion. Ellen.
Yes, dear?
Those lights in your apartment. All you have to do is take out a penny from the socket of your light over the stove, then replace the fuse. I left the kitchen window open in the back where I crawled in.
I'll go carry the fuse in the morning.
But you want to use the lights tonight, won't you?
Will I, darling?
Huh?
Oh, aren't you going to come up for a while? Just to say goodnight?
Oh.
Well, that's what I love about you, dear. You're so romantic.
Hello, New York. Madden and Palermo killed. Local police investigating. Cato Underwriters here. Recommend closing Central City office immediately.
We will consider your recommendation. For further instructions, call Seattle at midnight.
Seattle at midnight. A whisper.
The Whisperer is based upon stories and characters created by Stetson Humphrey. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Carlton Young is starred as the Whisperer. Betty Moran is Ellen. Others in the cast were Julius Kralbine, Herb Ellis, Jim Nusser, and James Bush. The Whisperer was written by Jonathan Twice, produced and directed by Bill Karn, original music by Johnny Duffy. This is Don Rickles inviting you to listen next week to another exciting adventure with... It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Today, join in the fun with screen actor Walter Brennan as Grandpa Vanderhoff, the leader of the lovable, laughable Vanderhoff family on You Can't Take It With You. Then hear Mr. Moto, ace Japanese-American security agent, working to stop those who had plunged the world into another war. Later, there's fun and prizes with genial Phil Baker as he asks that all-important $64 question.